Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark. Arizona, temperatures in Phoenix, 120 Fahrenheit.
Is that what it is out there? I thought I saw 115 on the car when I came back a few minutes ago. Maybe standing in the sun is probably 140. Who knows?
Yeah, right. So that's 45, 50 Celsius.
Yeah, but it's sunny out, and unlike Florida where I grew up, you know, we don't have hurricanes, and unlike California, for the most part, we don't have the floods and the fires and the earthquakes, though sometimes we get some fires in the high country here. So, you know, there's trade-offs wherever you live. I mean, if you're in Hawaii, then you got to worry about the volcano blowing up, and you can be under Mauna Loa, and the thing could become a super volcano, and it's the end of the planet, right? So, there's all choices of where you could be. So I chose here. I lived in Chicago for many years, and, you know, some winters had 80 below wind chill, and I think that's a little nastier than the weather you get in the Vancouver area. So, you know, that wasn't too pleasant. But, you know, you had heat, so you don't stand outside. You go into the warm buildings. And here in Arizona, you know, either you jump in the pool or you go into an air-conditioned building. So, yeah, it's rough. But, you know, if you have two nickels, you can drive 2 hours north up to the high country here, 7,000 to 9,000 feet, and it's, you know, 25 to 30 degrees cooler. In fact, that's probably where I'm headed this weekend, up toward Flagstaff. So anyway, I'm ranting and raving, but weather is, you know, a lot of it, we have no control of it. And then we can talk about geocosmic, you know, about the polar shift on the planet and the previous ice ages and where we are in the sequence of stuff. And, you know, it was an asteroid that missed the planet a couple of weeks ago that they discovered at the last minute. It was still a couple million miles away, but, you know, that's nothing in space distances. And, you know, there's about 43 active volcanoes on the planet right now. And, you know, entering hurricane season, we'll see how active that is here for, you know, the northern hemisphere. You know, so and then the sun seems to be acting up a little bit now. We're getting some solar flare activity and some sunspot activity. And, you know, there's some idiots out there in the scientific community. I was reading an article the other day. It's probably not new, about, you know, the Van Allen belt that surrounds the planet. It actually protects the planet from, you know, cosmic rays and so forth. I have a theory that it was put there by some ancient civilization or some extraterrestrial civilization. It's so well designed, it doesn't seem to me it would be an accidental natural occurrence. But some idiots in the physics community want to destroy it and blow it up because it interferes with satellite transmissions and other stuff that surrounds the planet. So we have some real mental midgets running our scientific community, unfortunately, that would even think about trying to destroy that. You know, it's bad enough they're fooling around with the weather and all kinds of other secret science activities. So, going back to the heat here, you know, I just came back in from a little drive, and my car temperature said 115, but I wasn't standing out in it. So that's the story.
Yeah, the Earth's tilt has changed by 1 meter, according to several sources. And just that little change in tilt could account for record high temperatures in the northern hemisphere, couldn't it?
Yeah, and is anybody talking about it? I mean, do I hear anything? I see a lot of literature talking about all the discoveries in Antarctica and all the crazy plant life and animal life that lives well below the ice and stuff like that. But, yeah, polar shift of any greater significance, as you and I know, at least from what minimal science training I have on that subject, is, you know, it could end civilization on the planet. I mean, if it's really a sharp shift, possibly the one that moved the continents around, including Antarctica, which was in a different latitude, you know, in, you know, some period in the past, something dramatic. The theory is things happen dramatically. Of all the research I've done, you know, it's not slow like we think. We hope it's slow, but some of the biggest changes on the planet, you know, a sudden shift in the polar activity or an asteroid hits and suddenly everybody's dead. And then we have to start over again. And I think that's the history of the planet, because we're uncovering a lot of ancient civilization relics and things that date back in times when supposedly there was no technology on the planet, and apparently there was, ranging from ancient Indian, Hindu, Sanskrit writings to the legends of Atlantis and on and on and on. So I think we've come and gone possibly several times on this planet, which is billions of years old, and, you know, how long have we been, satiated here in terms of technology or just function? What, 6,000 years according to our records, even though now we're finding some records going back 20, 30, 100,000 years. So, I think we've come and gone. So, you got to enjoy it. I think Musk is correct in trying to get us on Mars, because Mars could have a similar, had apparently already had a similar disaster, but, you know, the Earth, you know, the way we are and the way we live and what we see and feel, you know, we're lucky, you know, it's happening now and we're alive and that asteroid hasn't come yet.
Well, one of the problems with occupying Mars is we'll have to stay underground. It doesn't have a magnetic field like the Earth does that protects us from solar radiation and cosmic rays. You'll have to be underground there, or you're going to have your DNA turned to mush. And Mark, we were talking about a little essay I'd put together here about what's happening with our climate and weather. And I'll just read it to you the way I wrote it. The Earth's tilt has changed about a meter. Is that enough to account for hotter weather in the northern atmosphere? Changes in the tilt of the Earth, its orbit, and solar activity are major factors in climate change. We are getting lots of new heavy solar activity. Our oceans could be hotter from multiple volcanic eruptions that we can't see because they're deep under the water. Samples from pristine Antarctic glaciers taken from kilometers down shows the Earth naturally goes through about 10,000 years of warm and 100,000 years of ice. That repeats millennia after millennia. Roman artifacts have been recovered from former European ice fields where the glaciers have retreated, showing biblical times were much warmer than they are now. During that time, the Vikings grew grapes in Greenland. However, in the 1500s, a mini ice age hit. The Thames River in London froze over. There are paintings of people skating on the Thames. Tens of thousands of people died from starvation when their crops failed. And according to our market historian, Bob Hoy, witches were blamed for that climate change. Thousands of women were burned at the stake. However, my question is, how can Trudeau's multiple carbon taxes stop or control any of these natural factors? That's the end of my essay.
Sounds smart to me. I mean, it just reflects on things that we have no control of and we make excuses for. But what about the super volcano that apparently blew up in Iceland, which put us in the Dark Ages back around, what, 580 A.D.? I think that's it. What was it, 587? They said it was the worst year to be alive as a human on the planet was A.D. 587, and apparently they traced it to an Icelandic volcano blowing up and threw Europe into the Dark Ages, or just froze everything. People starved, and it was one of those things. So, you know, there's no respect for the geocosmic world. You know, I turn on the TV, and that's why we have these conversations, and people usually, if they want to hang up, they can hang up. But, you know, they're worrying about what the Federal Reserve is doing, or what Putin is doing, or what Biden is doing, or, you know, what China is doing, and on and on and on. And we're insects. We're irrelevant to these greater forces which are about us. Unfortunately, we have to eat and take care of our families and, you know, deal with our day-to-day existence. But, you know, that can change overnight. And with all these active volcanoes on the planet now and an active sun, I mean, suddenly we can see an outlier event here that could make the COVID situation look like a walk in the park, you know. So it's fun to keep on top of it, which I do.
In 1883, the volcanic eruption of Krakatoa produced a sound estimated to have reached 310 decibels. The explosion killed more than 30,000 people. That sound was so loud, it literally was heard around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't, anywhere near that area, you were fried. It was like an atomic explosion, right?
Yeah. So that was August 27th, 1883. So, again, I look at us as we're mere little bugs on this speck of dust circling through the universe. And at the height of COVID in China, with all the factories closed, people locked up in their homes, no motor traffic, no factories running, their emissions only went down 15%. That's according to NASA's satellite data. So,
right.
So humans really don't have a lot of control. I'm not saying we haven't contributed. No doubt we have. Burning coal, probably the worst thing we ever did for the atmosphere. But to say that we can stop what nature does, it's like putting your hand out to stop the tide. It's not going to.
Yeah, this is what makes the green movement so ridiculous. You know, the whole thing. It's just about power, control. You know, managing people and using that as an excuse. So
it's happening. We should be mitigating the thing. People on islands that are going to be overtaken by the ocean, either help them build seawalls or move them to some place where it's safe.
Right.
That's a lot easier.
I grew up in Florida, not too far from the ocean, in Miami, and I became smart ever since. I mean, I like the mountains. I want to be high up because at some point there will be a surge in the tides, and whether it's in my lifetime or not, I don't want to have beachfront property and find myself the subject of some tsunami or thereabouts. So it's nice looking at the beach, but I don't want to be there full time. But yeah, there are these crazy risks, and I think the seas are now rising anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, will it accelerate? Since we do some, you know, outlier event, or just going to slowly do that?
Mark, before we go any further, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Well, you know, VRTrader.com, you know, at the bottom of my newsletters every night, I throw in, you know, some stuff related to the kind of subjects we're talking about, where the sun is and, you know, where we are on the seasonality and so forth. So, you know, if you enjoy that, plus our general market commentary and stock picks and so forth, you would go to VRTrader.com. That's Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and pick out a newsletter that you like. There's a bunch of them up on the screen covering all kinds of subjects from metals and gold to cannabis. And you enter the promo code 2022 half off 2022 HALFOFF. And you get 50% off of any of the letters.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what do you think of the action in the stock markets lately?
Well, particularly, you know, last day or two, and today in particular, they nailed the NASDAQ, which was way, way up there, and everybody, you know, super bullish with Apple Computer and Microsoft and Netflix and Tesla. and NVIDIA, and you know the Magnificent Seven, as they call them, the stocks that accounted for you know the majority of the advance that we saw in the markets here in recent months. So we did see finally the S&P and the Russell and others catch up a little bit recently. I've been looking for a top here in July. And it's based on my forecast model, which I put together at the beginning of every year. And I can't pinpoint the exact day. Maybe it was today. I got to check the volume patterns and so forth. If I'm right, you know, it should be down until September, August, September. Not necessarily straight down, but, you know, some event hits, anything is possible. Stocks away, the high-tech names. And today there was a story that Taiwan Semiconductor, which is the big producer of semiconductor chips in Taiwan, has been building a big plant right here in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was a story they're going to halt or slow down construction now for a year or two because of economic issues or demand for semiconductor chips. And that was sort of surprising because I thought it was, what do I know? I mean, it was booming like hell because you got NVIDIA and all these hot semiconductor stops, but the semiconductor stock index started to turn down here. So Taiwan Semiconductor obviously was trying to diversify out of Taiwan in the likely event that China may take them over there. And it's nice to have a big plant in Phoenix where presumably you're safer from the Chinese than in Taiwan. But that didn't help the market. Taiwan stock dropped. And Tesla really got nailed today. It was down about 30 points. Apparently there's some dispute about when the truck is going to be delivered and pricing and whether, you know, they seem to be turning out the vehicles, but, you know, the profitability may not be as great or maybe delayed a bit. And so the high tech came down today. So since it led the market up, and if this continues, that would be a bearish event and would help confirm my theory that maybe we finally did some type of trading top here. But you know, you got, and this is also not talked about, and I talk about it a lot, you know, we've got the plunge protection team out there, and I don't hear it virtually mentioned at all on the media. I mean, the government is manipulating and has manipulated the market for decades. Most notorious is Japan, which I think controls 80% of the stocks in Japan, the ETFs and individual stocks, plus the fact they got a zero interest rate, which has helped supporting, you know, that kind of activity. And since Ronald Reagan created the plunge protection team, they called the working group of financial markets. I mean, they're out there all the time. I mean, they don't talk about, the Fed talks about raising interest rates or the money supply. I mean, there's a Freedom of Information Act came out years ago about what the Fed's doing secretly, like buying stock in Harley Davidson or, all kinds of crazy things that are just, you know, if I had Jay Powell in front of me in an interview, I'd tear him apart. Tell me about all these, secret activities that the Fed's really doing to support the markets, unrelated to what you tell people publicly. I mean, it's really a joke. So the market, you know, the market was probably rallying here a lot because the banks are coming down. We have a serious banking crisis. There's probably more coming. A lot of banks went under, and with interest rates up, the refinancing of properties and homes and all kinds of stuff are going to create all kinds of recessionary problems. So what do you got to do? You know, you bail the banks out, you get the plunge protection in there, jacking up. You only have to jack up seven stocks. These are the Magnificent Seven that I refer to. You know, get those up and you get Apple Computer moving and everything, and everybody's happy and jumping around and the partying, and the NVIDIA went up big, and oh boy, I'm smart. I own Microsoft and all these high-flying stocks. And then some of the other stocks tend to follow at some point, or maybe, you know, they're probably in there with the futures with regard to the S&P anyway. So this is what's going on, and plus all the government statistics. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I call it the Bureau of Lying Statistics, the stuff that comes out from the government. You can't believe any of it. It's changed. It's manipulated. I don't believe the reports the companies put out. You know, they manipulate that. There's a, you know, discussion about what is estimated earnings ahead of time, what really happens afterwards. you know, these guys are all playing inside information. They know what's coming ahead of time, and this is, and they report these earnings on, all, and everybody's waiting. Oh, the earnings report for Netflix is after the close, and the whole world depends on what Netflix is going to say after the close, which I didn't believe was yesterday. I mean, this is all public information in the right groups. You know, it's just the guys that are listening to public television or reading the Wall Street Journal, the next day, find out about what everybody else on the inside knows. So I don't want to get too far into this discussion, but you know, basically you're looking at a controlled market. You can't believe the numbers the government issues anyway. You can't believe what the companies tell you anyway. And the only way around this that I found in the 44 years that I've been doing this, and believe me, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm still a survivor, is you look at the charts. And if you see something going straight up and has a parabolic advance, it's going to tell you it's going to blow off and it's going to come down. And if they kill it and they knock it down like they did with Facebook, now they call it Meta, about a year ago, and they took it, you know, all the way down to $80 a share, and it was, what, in the mid to high 200s? And that's a manipulative event. That's how manipulation occurs in the stock market. One of my great teachers, who apparently knew Bernard Baruch and all the top manipulators back in the 1920s and 30s, told me this story years and years ago. But if you want to buy stocks, you hit the bids, you knock them down, you come out with bad news, everybody dumps it, you accumulate it, and that's how you make money. And if you're trying to unload your stock, you run it up, big news, positive stories, everybody jumps in, you get short and get out, and it's just the opposite. And these are, you know, these are not accidental events, is what I'm saying. And, you know, you won't hear other commentators talk about this because they're afraid of their jobs or whatever. It, you know, there's manipulation. I saw it when I was a floor trader on the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I saw stocks being manipulated. I saw options being manipulated. I saw firms coming in, buying call options, and the next day issuing research reports to drive the stock up. And we're standing there in the pit wondering, why are you coming in here buying calls? There's nothing going on. Sure, they knew it was going to happen. So I got, that's just one of many, many instances. You can call it tales from the pit. You know, it's the stories that I experienced when I was down there, you know. So even the floor traders, you know, they'd run over, buy a bunch of call options. Then they run off to the corner to the phones in the back of the trading floor and buy the stock and run it up in New York because they knew it was thin at a certain point, run the stock up, come back into the pit. Options are upticking because the stock is going up, and they unload their position. And this is just small-scale penny ante stuff. Imagine what Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and, you know, the old Lehman Brothers was doing. You know, these are amateurs compared to what the big boys are doing out there, you know. You know, it's a game. The whole stock market is a game. You got to try to play the game. Got to tune out a lot of the nonsense. Use your common sense, but primarily look at your charts and try to see where you are in the cycle. And that brings me to the other subject of cycles, where we are in the market cycle. I mean, is it a turnaround Tuesday? Is it a Santa Claus rally? Is it a seasonal low or high? Is it the patterns that we get with the various solstices and equinoxes? Is there a full moon or new moon in the sky that sometimes affects markets, lows and highs? All kinds of fun stuff, you know, that you need to look at to try to figure out, and you're never going to be 100% of this by any stretch, but it gives you, some sense of what's happening. And if you can still be around after the smoke clears, then I guess you're a success.
Are you a financial advisor?
I am not. Thank you for letting me state that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm a newsletter publisher, and I've been doing this for 44 years.
Mark, why don't people know more about the manipulation that takes place? Is it because it's out of your control, so just learn how to control the symptoms and take advantage of them?
I guess, and maybe it gets you into trouble if you work for, like I did years ago, for a brokerage firm. You know, the partners don't like you saying stuff like this because it scares the clients away. What's the answer? The answer is, do your best, use a little common sense, buy low, sell high, as the old cliche goes, and can't be a pig. You know, if you're making money in the market, after you're happy, you're up your 5-10% or whatever you think is a good return, take something off the table. You know, don't sit around waiting for another 10 or 20%, particularly if it's already been up for a while. So, and then when they come out with the bad news, whether it's COVID or whether it's a banking crisis, you know that this is part of the game, that stocks come down and this gives you a buying opportunity. And you're never going to pick the bottom, but you're going to, you know, if you look at the charts, I do. I try to pick the bottoms, but you can't always do that either. But you see bottoming formations, like they call them like inverse head and shoulders patterns, you know, little things on the charts that give you a sense of that you might be bottoming out and seeing the same thing at the top of the range. And but there was a book written back in the 1930s, I believe. It's called the McGee-Edwards book. And it's the official title. I have it somewhere on my desk here. I can't find, you know, this, the technical analysis explained. And you gotta get a copy of that book. I mean, it's like, nothing has changed in almost 100 years. You know, the formations that they show, like little flags, little pennants, little boxes, little, head and shoulders patterns, all these little things you see on the charts, and they help predict, you know, direction of the market, breakouts and breakdowns. And, you know, you have to know these things because human nature is the same. Why these things work repeatedly, I can't say, other than human nature is human nature, and we trade and move stocks in the same way over and over again, up and down, and these patterns appear on the screen that are repetitive. So if you look at the McGee-Edwards book, for example, which is one of many, but that's sort of the classic one out there, you know, it gives you a sense of things that, you should be looking at. And if you don't want, and I don't have the time for any of this, find yourself a good, you know, money manager who has a track record of, not riding the stock market down during crashes and telling you, hey, it's time to get out and lighten up a little bit. I think we're up too much, or coming to you, hey, it's cheap now. I think we should be looking to get back into the market rather than sitting there just holding your money and then be fully invested all the time, running the risk of, you know, not being defensive. So yeah, that's the only other excuse. Or right now, as you know, you can earn 5% in risk-free treasury bills, which is not a bad alternative. I mean, you know, that's where I have a lot of my money. I just have it in treasury bills. I'm happy with 5%. I have a little money I trade with on the side, but 5% guaranteed, no risk. I mean, we haven't had that opportunity in 20 years. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's not a bad idea for people. You know, what the heck is, what's so wrong with that? You know, if you're looking to make 30% every year, then I suppose you're going to have to do a little trading on the side with some of your money and try to increase your returns. But with that kind of safety, I think that's a good alternative. So right now, a lot of people are still sitting in the treasury bills and stuff, and some of the bulls are saying, well, you know, these people are all invested in treasury bills because they were scared that the bear market is coming, or the recession is coming, or a depression is coming. And they're all invested and they're out of the market. What if these people change their mind on a Tuesday morning and decide, hey, this is really a bull market? Because I heard the sentiment figures this morning. I think it's 50% bulls now, in the reading of bulls and bears. So, you know, once that starts getting higher and higher, you know, people start getting antsy. Oh, I missed it. And they start cashing in their treasury bills. So the argument goes, and that propels the market even higher. So we'll see if that even happens. But that's the story the bulls are saying, that, the bears have been wrong for a while. I don't think they've been wrong because there's been 7 stocks that have driven the market up. But, you know, in any event, you know, that could be ammunition for, you know, a further advance when it comes. And we have to remember the next year is an election year, and we do have the plunge protection team and all these manipulative forces out there. So maybe we have a traditional sell-off into the fall, and then they take off again because Biden and Democrats want to get reelected. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the charts will make that clearer for us as time moves on.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure, Jim, and thank you so much for the polar shift story.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.